once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports from Northeast Ohio, and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. And now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave.
And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. And it is indeed a good Tuesday afternoon.
A little gray, a little chilly, but typical. Oh,
definitely.
I'll take it this
definitely
for a
chilly.
January. You know, it could be below zero. Could be.
And to avoid the rest of the world, we have sports to talk about.
Oh,
today.
Thank goodness for
sports. And you know what? We need to talk about it now. Get it out of the way so we can enjoy the rest of the program.
All right.
The national championship game was last night. It wasn't in the Beacon.
Well, I thought you were talking about going to start something else, but okay.
Yeah, let's get this out of the way.
All right.
Just,
yeah.
You know, as somebody said, you think they can win? I said, if they play the way they did the week before, they're going to win. They didn't play the way they did the week before.
No, they didn't. I forgot what the final score was, but it was pretty much over at halftime.
Yeah.
They
confession time. Did you make it through to the end of the game?
Oh, I watched the whole
game. Did you? I gave up. It was about halfway through the fourth quarter. I said, that's it.
There was a minute and a half or so left.
And, which is like 12 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, which is ridiculous. But, Alabama is a machine. They are a juggernaut. They are, you name the words in college football, they are a supremely talented team.
They get all, you know, and Ohio State does too, you know, and Clemson does too. There are some teams that get all top recruits. That those are the programs you want to go to. Those are the programs that win. That's where people want to be.
So they were saying on the radio this morning that Alabama, which is not a big state, for
no.
goodness sakes, it's probably half the size, if that, of Ohio.
Of the population.
And they have more what they call now five-star recruit is the cream of the crop of high school football players.
Okay,
across the country they rate them. I don't know who does it. Recruiting agencies. There's a lot of them, believe it or not, of coaches who have companies that go out and for a fee they give the input of who they have found. You know, if you're a great athlete in Fargo, North Dakota, they'll find you. They'll find you. And they'll rate you 1 through 4. And 1 through 5. And it was interesting is that Alabama, just Alabama alone, mm-hmm. has more 5-star recruits, the cream of the cream of the cream of the crop, than the Big Ten combined.
Than the Big Ten combined?
Combined.
You mean not just the state of Alabama, we're talking about the...
Alabama. University of Alabama. Crimson Tide has more five-star recruits than all of Big Ten combined, including Ohio State.
Wow. And there's 12 teams in the Big Ten.
And it was Jeff Phelps. Really? He said, absolutely. They were talking to a guy from Sports Illustrated. So, they have a system of getting the best players into that state. And they know if they're good, you have a 5-star rating behind you, and if you're good, that you have an outstanding chance of making it to the pros.
Right.
And they have, of course, the best receiver, a Heisman Trophy winner, Demaryius Smith, I think
Smith,
is it?
Yes.
Yeah, Smith, and I hope I got his first name right, but... He looks like he's like 6'1", 110 pounds.
He doesn't look that way. But what it is what he's got is pure muscle.
And 5'5" of them are legs.
Yeah.
And he just tore Ohio State up the first half, and then he got hurt. He had a dislocated finger. But they continued on. They are just an excellent football team. And Ohio State's not there yet. I mean... Justin Fields had a a good game, but not an outstanding game. And then they lost their best running back to injury, and it's just
was up for the injury from the.
It was a collarbone injury.
Okay, yeah. So that wasn't the one with the
poor kid. He saw him going into the locker room.
I'm just wondering with the targeting if that was a...
No, that wasn't the targeting.
Well, that guy sure looked in...
Yeah, he did.
When you get hit where he got hit with a helmet. I mean, I'm surprised he was not unconscious.
Yeah. It's a brutal game. It's just a brutal game. I mean, let's face it. It seems like four or five players every game are laid out on the field and taken into the locker room. It's just, that's the appeal of football, right? I mean, people like to see
they
that.
Like to
the
see
contact.
That. And they get angry when the person got sentenced, I guess it is, with targeting, and he's ejected, and they're all upset because, hey, you let the players play. But you can't do that.
It used to be something they practiced, though.
Right.
Put
the helmet down and
yeah,
control.
And
but
you
I
mean,
that,
you're
that is
coached a, at the high school level, and I now this is going back a few years.
You don't know if they're still doing that.
Yeah, I don't. In a few years,
a couple years. You're, things have changed in the last 5 years, Bill.
they actually encourage you to put your head in their numbers. I mean, make them hurt. Hurt your opponent. That is part of the game. And so, anyway, I mean, it was not a great game. About halftime, you've kind of had the sinking.
The writing was pretty much on the wall.
Yeah, and it's just they were a superior football team. And Ohio State, maybe not only having, playing six or seven games, I think they were 7-0 going into this, didn't give them the opportunity to fine-tune themselves. Plus, I think Fields had to be hurting. He had a hip pointer.
He was hurt from the week before.
And that defensive line of Ohio State's offensive line, and pretty much... it wasn't. I mean, they came back. When they scored a touchdown, then we scored a touchdown, and then they had a interception, and they then tied the game at 14-all. And okay, this is going to be a competitive game.
Right.
And then
tit for tat. That was okay.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's just, okay.
Yeah. And they scored a touchdown, and we scored a field goal, and they scored a touchdown, we scored a nothing.
And then from there, it went off.
They did to Ohio State what Ohio State usually does to other teams. They play them close for the first half, and then in the second half, the other teams just can't keep up because Ohio State, in general, has so much strength on the sideline.
Within the Big Ten.
So.
And they're going to dominate the Big Ten for... forever. I mean, they get the best recruits. I mean,
and the Big Ten, they get the best number of recruits. Yeah. I'm wondering, out of those five stars, that there's more in Alabama than in all the Big Ten. I wonder how many of there are five stars that are in Ohio State.
I would imagine
that they would get probably half of what the Big Ten gets.
Well, they probably get two or three a year, where Alabama gets 15 or 20.
I mean,
it's just...
And the crazy thing is, once again, we're talking about, people are talking about Nick Saban going to the NFL.
Oh, why
and
would he?
Why would you do that? He is a god in Alabama.
He is.
He is paid as much or more than he could ever be paid as a head coach there. He isn't going to get smarmy players who are going to talk back to him like you will in the NFL, because hey, I make five times what you make, so why make you?
I don't know about that.
Well, I'm talking about in the NFL. Why? And you're with a program that continually gets the best recruits in the country. Why in the world would you leave that to go to the NFL?
Well, he's approaching 70. Nick Saban is.
That's another reason why. Who's going to hire you? Usually the teams that are terrible.
I don't think he's even looking. I mean, there's
he's not looking.
All these things come out.
When he's even tired of saying, I'm not going anywhere. He just lets them jabber
he's
on.
He's got the Aflac.
But the talk is out there.
Yeah, he's got the Aflac commercials going now and other. I think.
Really, is that all you have to say?
Yeah, I mean.
Aflac.
He's, I think, in the neighborhood of $12 million a year.
Yeah, without endorsements. Plus, he does. Yeah. He does his radio probably slash television show, and he gets paid to have to do that.
And not only that, he's got a staff that goes out and gets these recruits. Can you imagine being an 18-year-old, flown down to Alabama, Tuscaloosa, I believe that's where it is, and meeting with Nick Saban and saying, you know, son, if you come to this school, you're going to be in the best program in the country.
And you have the best chance to get in the NFL.
But you're going to have to work hard. You're sitting there saying, where do I sign? Where do I sign? And it's just, and when they were talking about all the players in Alabama, they come from all over. I mean, literally come.
Yes.
One was from Philadelphia, and another five-star recruit from the West Coast. And they're just now. If Nick Saban happens to be, I'm approaching 70. I'm really, but he delegates now. He's now won more national championships than the legendary Bear Bryant.
Right.
His statue's now going from 30 feet to 175 feet.
And pretty soon they're going to have to put lights on there for airplanes and drones.
I don't see him.
No, I don't either. But the talk was there. The talk is out there.
I know. Well, there's somebody from Oklahoma is looking at perhaps going to Philadelphia. The Eagles fired their coach. I don't. It's hard to. He was in the NFL.
He was.
And the NFL job is so grueling. I mean, you're talking 100 hours a week.
Yeah, the only thing you don't have to do that you have to do in college is recruit.
You don't have to recruit, but you have to prepare for the draft in coordination with the general manager. You've got all the pressure.
Let's just say that he pretty much has all say where he's at. Yeah. Is a coach.
And why would he want to diminish? Because if he goes to the NFL and doesn't have success,
right,
would diminish his stature.
Right.
Yeah. So.
No, I didn't say it would, but I'm just saying, once again, the talk is out there. Oh, maybe Nick Saban would go here. Nick Saban's not going anywhere.
And Ryan Day, too. He's only the second year as the Ohio State coach. And this year is so full of...
It was absolutely
It's just
crazy.
You know,
he could even be at one of the games himself.
Could be at the Michigan game.
Yeah.
And this COVID-19 thing is... Well, they did have 14,000 there at the game last night in Miami. Well, down south, they just don't take it as serious.
Just because, in Florida, there's no COVID in Florida.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So they have looser restrictions. But, 14,000 is a lot of people. Of course, they're outside, and I guess it's... Maybe not as bad, but...
But you're outside, and you're yelling, and you're screaming, and you're chanting, and...
Yeah. And you're going, I'm sure, all the bars seem to be open down there.
We're both right here.
Yeah.
We're wearing face shields.
That's right.
And I noticed when I take this off, I said, man, I got to clean this face shield. And we're not shouting. We're not screaming. We're not... Rah, rah, we're not yelling at the...
When you talk.
I do, but...
You spent venom.
No, it's to keep people on their toes.
And they seem the games last forever too. They started at 8:15. They almost midnight.
I gave up, but I think it was in the fourth quarter. I think it was about a quarter to 12. I said, you know what?
They're not coming back.
They're not coming back. I'm getting up before six to start working for the station. So kiss that one goodbye. You know.
Yeah.
If it would have been closer, I would have stayed.
Absolutely. And
but it wasn't, and there was no chance at that point. And you felt the players giving up that.
Yeah. Especially at the end of the half, where they really didn't try to do anything when they got the ball. In fact, they were trying to run out the clock. So
yes, they were trying to run out the clock.
That kind of told me, well, if they don't think they have a chance, I guess the viewers, I mean, I got that impression. They want to get out of there as fast as they can and get into the locker room during halftime. Most teams want the opportunity to score. They were looking at getting in, and then Alabama had said, I'm going to try to score, and they didn't, though. But they just simply didn't, to me, even when it was tied, it just didn't feel, because they got that one touchdown off of interception, and that was great. And
yeah.
Important, but, you know, I just got a feeling that they were marching up and down the field pretty easily
at will,
Alabama, and it just didn't seem like they were going to.
At will, and Will wasn't even on the field.
No. But I know that some people argue that Ohio State shouldn't have even been there because they only played seven games, but that's the system they're in.
And that's the year that we're having as
well. Yeah, I mean, it does.
The fact is, you can't take away from what they did because Clemson played more games, and we beat the snot out of Clemson. We did not play Clemson.
Oh, yeah.
We did not play we did not play Bama the way that we played Clemson.
Yeah, well, Clemson would have been blown out of the water with.
They would have. If we could blow them out, you know. And actually, looking back on it, Notre Dame gave them a better game than we did.
Absolutely. So. But it does call into question this college playoff system. Why only four teams? It just doesn't make any. They do it in every other division.
Okay,
every other.
But we've been debating since before there was even that there should be one. Yeah. And then they said, okay, we'll have four. We've been debating since they made four. It should be at least six or seven. And then you give the top team or top two teams a bye the first week.
That's right. Well,
and you make all those insignificant bowls worth something.
Yeah. I mean, all those bowls that they have in December, you can give a top seed.
Especially this year when there's people not allowed to be there, and you basically just watching a football game on TV.
I don't understand the logic of it. It just doesn't make any sense.
Would it not make it worth more money and actually build up more attention to the national championship game?
Well, yeah, but...
And then to show the national championship game on ESPN, not ABC, which owns ESPN, if you go through more teams in there, more teams, you build up to more wins, to the wins, to the final two, it makes that game so much more attractive for so many more people to see. But when you have only four teams, the last three or four years in there has been Ohio State, Bama, and Clemson, and somebody else.
And Georgia.
You know, it kind of rotates. That fourth spot usually rotates around.
Yeah.
But usually.
Alabama.
Yeah.
They're in it every year.
Right. So they're usually there. Clemson is usually there. And Ohio State is there or on the cusp.
So they have almost. Of the four teams that go into the college football playoff, you've got really not even four. Because Alabama's almost got a permanent position there.
Right.
And you can argue Clemson is up there all the time. So you're talking about the ability of two teams out of dozens having the opportunity. Why can't you expand it to 10?
You had 10
teams.
You had more chance before they had a playoff of a team outside of those four having a shot at it, like when Florida was there.
Yeah.
You know, but before they had this four-team playoff, you had more teams that had an opportunity to possibly become national champions.
Right. Absolutely. So I really think, like Cincinnati, the football team had a really great year. They really did. I don't know the record, but you know, I think they only they really look good.
Right. I don't think they had a loss.
But they have no opportunity at all.
Right. They don't. And the guy said they never should because unless you take the playoffs to like eight teams, then they should have been like an eighth seed.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's the only way they should ever. He says because of the caliber of teams that they usually play in their conference, it'd be like expecting somebody from the MAC every year to go.
Well,
where you know, somebody from the MAC will go to the March Madness, you know?
Right.
Because they are a conference, and the winner of that, not of the conference, but the winner of their tournament, their final tournament,
right,
goes on to there. But you're not going to see a Kent State, an Akron U, a Toledo. And Toledo's had some pretty interesting teams. They know how to make quarterbacks and receivers.
And running backs.
And running backs, right.
Kareem Hunt from Toledo.
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't understand. Why not, you know, this is not that complicated. You get to 10 teams, and work out a system.
Right. Let the top two have a bye week first.
Or even the top four. You know, Think outside the box. Do something. But allow a Cincinnati, allow a MAC team to enter into...
To have a shot.
Have a shot.
Right. And you don't just enter. You're not just given a bid like they are in March Madness. You have to earn up to the top 10 spots.
I mean...
And end your season another game or two earlier. You know, regular season. And then you still have time to work your way down and play the championship at the same time.
Well, and the normal season.
Normal season, yeah. Well, in a normal season, exactly.
They start in September and usually wrap up early or mid-November.
Right.
And then they don't play some of these major bowls.
They don't play for a month.
For a month.
Yeah. So, and that makes no sense either because no team can be, I don't care how much you practice, you can't be sharp for a game by not playing a game in a month.
That's right. And don't give me the student athlete crap.
Yeah.
I think there was three or four, at least, players that were graduated already.
Yeah.
Alabama. I think the quarterback had graduated with 2 degrees. He's a graduate. He can come back next year, technically, because this doesn't count.
Because this doesn't count against
I don't
it.
Think he will, but...
Well, why would he?
You know, he's Mac Jones. I think he'll be... he's going to be in the first round, but they say high in the first round. So, but still, that's a career looking.
That gets a nice bonus to get your career started with, and then you get a million.
Lamar Jackson did okay for a guy drafted in the late first round, but I don't know. It's just you would think this year, especially this year, the powers to be, and I just don't understand it.
And if anything, this year because of all the garbage going on. That they should have, like all the major sports have done, all professional sports have done, they opened up to more teams in the playoffs.
Yes.
Why didn't you do it here? Because of what the year was.
But the hypocrisy of it is every other sport except Division I-A football and the teams involved in the higher echelons of Division I football, Division II, Division I-A, Division III, they all have playoffs.
Yes.
They all have playoffs.
Yes.
And those kids are in school.
Yes.
And somehow they can manage the playoffs in those schools.
Yes.
And doesn't affect the student athlete, and they really are student athletes in Division III.
Yes.
They don't, you know, that argument just doesn't hold water. It just doesn't hold water whatsoever. So why is it just four?
And the fact is, because they're bowl games that would have playoff implications, they would be worth more money.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to watch...
And more sponsorship, more money for sponsorship, more money for commercials. It just makes so much sense.
So like an Alamo Bowl. The Alamo Bowl isn't a big bowl, but it's that game could be between Cincinnati and somebody else. And then if they win, they can go to the Citrus Bowl, for example, and if they win that, they have a shot at becoming national champion. Now, will they beat an Alabama?
No.
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 But But still, it's like there once in a while in the March Madness, a 16th seed will knock off a first seed. It doesn't happen very often, but it does happen.
And they've been known to have more backing off number two seeds, but that does happen.
Yeah. So, but unfortunately, I mean, we got into the we beat Clemson, and then we held our own for a while in the national playoff game last night, but unfortunately, it wasn't to be.
Yeah.
Unless they can find some more points somewhere. Maybe they...
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they're sitting in a suitcase someplace under a bench.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could get
more points. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Well, he just needs 11,000 more points. 11,000 more points. With that,
yes,
and that's the bad news.
That's the bad.
Let's talk.
It's the best of times and the worst of times.
Yes,
worst of times being the Ohio State. Well, there's other worst times.
And I have to admit, I was a bit shocked, very hopeful, but a bit shocked at what happened on Sunday. We're out four coaches, including the head coach. You're out four players with the COVID.
Yeah.
More players for other reasons.
Oh, my goodness. There's the points that you've been looking for.
They just found them. And it just... and when your offensive lineman has COVID, who's very important to you.
Yeah, Joel Patino.
And then he... The guy that replaces him gets hurt, and a guy who the quarterback met for the first time the locker room.
That's right.
And one practice, virtual meetings in one practice, is all they were able to have because of the COVID.
Taking
on the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh.
That's right. I think it was the most...
Does that not stack the cards against you?
Oh, it was. I think it was the most significant and... surprising win, certainly since the Browns came back, but perhaps close to the top in their history. I mean, the Browns have won national championships prior to the Super Bowl. They're only one of four teams that have never been in it.
Right.
And
look at this. The last time they were in the playoffs was?
It was 2002.
Right. The last time they won a playoff game.
1994.
The last time they won a playoff game not at home.
I don't know that one.
1969.
Wow. And the last time they won the national championship
it before was 1964.
So.
Well, that was before.
That was the year I was born.
That's why you didn't remember the 69.
It's just incredible, and when the
is
first
your sister changing her tune?
Huh?
Is your sister changing her
tune? I don't know. She doesn't like Baker Mayfield, and let her stew in her juices. Her team didn't get anywhere.
Yep.
Didn't even make her team is of course the Miami Dolphins, and she just thinks that he's a flash in the pan, and I don't think if he won a Super Bowl that would change her mind.
Wait, she said he'd never get us to the Super Bowl.
I honestly didn't think so at first after last year.
Year, he set records not even playing the full season.
Yeah.
The second year, under Freddie Kitchens, he looked like he didn't have a clue. And even he admit himself, he didn't take it as seriously, the offseason as seriously as he should. He didn't take the game as seriously as he should. People around him said he thought it was... The NFL was a lot easier than everybody said it was, and the sophomore jinx hit him.
It did, and...
Right between the eyes, and that biggest rock was called doubt. He started doubting.
That's right, and...
You take away that man's confidence, and then you've got, at best, a mediocre quarterback.
Yeah. Well, the Terry Pluto articles that will be... On the air,
Tomorrow afternoon.
He goes through the maturation process of Baker Mayfield, and he went from basically, this one man, flash in the pan, I'm the man kind of guy, to a game manager, which is a lot more boring but more productive. And the maturation is not only as a football player but as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And the one who really has shepherded him is the stability that Kevin Stefanski has brought to this program.
This is a man who's been brought in as a big shining star, been under three head coaches, three offensive coordinators, and two general managers.
Yeah. In three years.
And you realize that in the AFC playoffs that's left right now, he's the oldest statesman of all four.
He is.
At 25 years old. And
is that all he is now?
Yeah, he's 25, and he is the oldest.
Yeah, I never realized that.
The Kansas City, Mahomes. He is also 25, but he's about, I think, about 7 months younger.
Uh-huh.
And the other two are 24.
Lamar and Jackson and...
our friend in Buffalo.
Oh, and Josh Allen.
Yeah. So those two are 24, and the other two are 25, he being the oldest.
Well, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Baker were in that 2018 draft. Mahomes was... When was Mahomes picked? I don't remember, but in that area, 17, 18, or
right.
19. And, so...
Well, he was picked before... He was picked before the general manager came here.
Who was? Maker?
No.
Dorsey. Mahomes. Yeah, they're calling...
Dorsey. He picked Mahomes, then he came here, and he picked Mayfield.
John Dorsey, who was the general manager of Kansas City, came to Cleveland as a general manager and got fired as a general manager last year about this time.
For the Freddie Kitchens pick, which I still think had a lot to do.
Oh yeah,
listening to the fan yesterday, and there was a former player who had commentator says, and for the first time, he will give kudos to ownership, because for the first time since he's owned this team, he stayed out and did not interfere at all this year.
Well, I think Paul DePodesta pretty much has, who's the chief strategy officer for the Cleveland Browns, former baseball guy.
But he's been here the whole time.
Yeah, I think he just basically told Jimmy and that this is the way, if you're going to succeed, this is going the way. And given the doofus's past record, chances are he wasn't going to listen to him, but he did. And he has allowed DePodesta and
it could have been getting the guy he wanted. Says, look, if I come here, you can't come in here and tinker. You can fire me at the end of the season, but you can't come in here during the season and try and make me do this and that and the other thing. You can't do it.
Yeah. Well, I just think Stefanski has this very calming personality. You just listen to the guy. Oh, gee.
calming. Some people call it boring, but
Boring's good.
Boring is good.
Bill Belichick is boring, but he's good.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Landry.
Yeah. Tom Landry is
boring.
Boring.
Good.
Collier was good. He hated dancing
Paul Brown.
Any kind of celebration. Act like you've been there.
Yeah.
You know? Give the official hand of the football and get back over to the sideline.
Nick Chubb is the perfect epitomizes that.
Yes.
Do my job. I don't go in front of the camera and do these gyrations.
And even this year, I don't recall one time the Baker said something that would be bulletin board material.
He's excitable. Let's face it, when he gets excited. I had no problem with enthusiasm.
Right, but that's during the game he gets excited.
Yeah, and
after the game, his tone level is down here. His demeanor is down here. He answers questions as best he can, and then he gets out.
But the game, I just couldn't believe it. The first play of the game, Pittsburgh hikes the ball over the head of Ben Roethlisberger.
And there are three Browns down there, and we got a touchdown.
Yeah. And then it was 28-0. at the end of the first quarter.
Yes, we scored more points in a quarter and in the first half than any team has done in the playoff history.
Yeah, and then, you know, the 28-point deficit, I don't care who you're playing. It's a hard hole to climb out of. And Pittsburgh did start making, you know, it got you a little nervous there for a while. But
absolutely.
But you know what? We got the ball back, and we controlled it. And
although Pittsburgh, and I think I've said it earlier this year, I just don't feel that. Even when Pittsburgh was 11-0, I says they're not an 11-0 team. Mm-mm. And they ended up being
1-4 in the last five games.
Yes, they were. Yeah. So, you know, anyway, this was the first time.
I'm sorry, 2-4.
Right. Yeah.
They beat the Colts to get it.
And they had to come back behind.
Yeah, and they really had to come from behind.
Yes. Anyway, this was the first time in 73 games that the Steelers didn't record a sack. This was a team that led the NFL in sacks. They didn't even register a quarterback hit on Mayfield, according to ESPN's Bill Barnell, who studies the analytics. Mayfield was under the least amount of pressure of any QB over the weekend. And we had one of our starting linemen out, and then we had our backup lineman out, and you had a guy in there who was a rookie who Baker Mayfield didn't even meet till they were in the locker room. Barnwell also wrote that Mayfield averaging only 2.34 seconds to throw, the quickest of any QB in the first round of the playoffs. Guess who dialed up those plays? Yep. Take a Bob Kevin Stefanski, it says, to begin with the preparation and virtual practices. But it's not that, you know, even so, they didn't really get the pressure on Baker Mayfield, and he's learned that quick release that Big Ben used to have.
And well, he still has it, but he threw interceptions. And so he looked more like Baker Mayfield last year than Baker Mayfield this year.
I tell you what, there are certain memories I have in different sports, and there's two distinct ones I have in football. One was Bernie Kosar putting his arm around Ernest Biner after the fumble.
Mm-hmm.
The other is Baker Mayfield sitting on that bench after that game by himself.
Baker Mayfield?
I'm sorry, Ben Roethlisberger.
I was going to bring that up.
His head down.
We have talked about, I think, Peyton Manning in the past. There's a point in, I call it the Y.A. Tittle moment.
Yeah.
Y.A. Tittle was a very good quarterback for the New York Giants for years. But there was a pitcher that I seen going through historic documents, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 62 or 63. Him kneeling on the field after a devastating loss at the end of his career with blood coming down his face from a cut. And that was the last play he ever did in his career. He was done. He didn't have it anymore. And I got that feeling with Ben Roethlisberger.
He's still got another year in a contract, yeah. But that doesn't mean he can't retire. And he has to look back on this game and say, how did these guys come in here? They have never beat me at home.
No.
They've only won games basically at the end of the season in Cleveland, when we weren't playing full strength.
No, he looked awful. He did. I mean, he had four interceptions, and he was pressured, and it was like the Browns playing the years past where they were just beaten up by Pittsburgh.
And there's another thing going on in Pittsburgh, too. They have a ton of players up for free agency.
And older, too.
And they are pretty much already at the top of the salary chart.
That's right.
And the Steelers are. And the fact is, because of the COVID and not having people in the stands and not selling the merchandise and not selling the food, there's talk of the NFL actually bringing down
the salary cap.
The salary cap. Yeah. And by doing that, Steelers are not going to be able to hold on to all their players unless they're willing to play for probably less than they played for this year.
Mm-hmm. Several of the,
Not that I'm, I don't want to get the feeling that I'm feeling sorry for the Steelers.
Well, I think that you're seeing their demise in
yes.
front of us. I mean, that team was horrible that we played yesterday. Thank goodness. I mean, it's going our way, the Browns.
Yes.
Meaning our team, the Northeast Ohio. Cleveland Browns, it is finally going after decades of incompetence.
Yes.
We are
from
getting
ownership to
coaching,
to selecting players, to everything.
We are finally, all these, they're actually calling, some people are calling this the Dorsey Bowl coming up because all the players from both.
I had not heard that.
Yeah, the Kansas City Cleveland Brown games next week, next Sunday.
At 3:30 p.m.
Yeah, and it is two teams built by
John Dorsey.
John Dorsey, yeah. To a larger expense, and all these things that the Browns did. Again, Terry Pluto outlined it. That Sashi Brown did some good things.
Yes,
he really did. I mean, the analytics didn't work out for. I guess now Sashi Brown is. Went to another sport. He's now, I think, the 76ers statistical analysis guy. And he, you know, I.
But see, when you're using fewer parts to the puzzle, it makes more sense. You know, there's a whole lot of difference between a basketball team and a football team.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
there's only five players.
There's too many moving parts.
You play offense and defense.
Right. There's just too many moving parts. And the NFL team did not, but Kevin Stefanski is a believer in analytics, mm-hmm. and they still use analytics to a great degree, but not like they did.
It helps here. Making certain decisions. But Andrew Berry, the very young general manager,
the youngest,
yeah,
I believe,
and Kevin Stefanski, a very young head coach, did something fundamental, and that was build the offensive line.
Yes.
The offensive line is terrific. You give Baker Mayfield or any NFL quarterback the time that Baker has to find the and Landry has just been superb. The acquisition of Austin Hooper as a tight end allows and keeping tight end.
Ojinobi.
Yeah. And some of the other ones, Higgins. It really has produced a very good core of
right because when
players.
when you have your offensive line that good and you give your quarterback more time and your quarterback needs less time to make a play happen by the quick throws, that's a monster combination.
It is, but you got to give Stefanski a world of credit. He has these guys believing in him. His system, and he wasn't even there. He couldn't even talk. He was in the basement of his house. I had to be excruciating for him. The head coach of this team, who's guided him through this perilous season, to get them into the playoffs, and here he is stuck in his basement, can't by rule have any contact with his team once the game starts.
Once the game starts, yeah.
Having a system where he can actually be not there and still run like a fine-tooth machine. It's just, now, the Steelers did help by setting the tone with that first turnover of the game.
He said he was down in his man cave where he was stuck because
I know the feeling.
And he said he had something like it must have hit a pause on his TiVo or something by accidentally. So he was like 45 seconds behind real play. And he could hear the family yelling upstairs at the beginning of the game. He didn't know what happened to me. He knew something like it must have happened. And he said he has a whole new – he's always had respect for the fans. He's got a whole new respect for the fans because for the first time in his life, in his coaching career, and I'm talking about the whole time he's a coaching career, mm-hmm. he's had to watch it from the television in his home, and he sees the ups and downs and the emotions you get watching it from home that you don't even have time to think about. When you're on the sideline doing this, you have so much you're thinking about, and this and that and the other play and the defense and, hey, do we need to review this play and this and that? You don't have time to do that. You're living it. Mm-hmm. You're not thinking it. You're living it. When you're at home and you're not in contact and you have no control, the only control you have is on your remote. And it just showed him what the fans have gone through for so many years.
Yeah.
And the biggest difference, not just Stefanski, which ops, you know, because we didn't know. He didn't have really much more experience than Freddie Kitchens had. Okay? And we didn't know this. We didn't know what an organizer was. We know that Freddie Kitchen wasn't that organized, but we didn't really know anything about him except for what some of his past jobs had been.
Well, we had suspected, okay, here comes another untested
first-year guy, who's never been a head coach.
I mean, we've had that in Penton. We had that in Chabinski. We had that in Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackson was a head coach and did quite well, but he turned out to be a disaster, really.
Yes. Yeah.
And 1-31, that's not good. Or whatever he was.
And the other big difference was no ownership interference. And we know that was going on because when Ray Farmer took the fall, he didn't just call down there, down to the field during the game for fun.
Yeah.
He didn't do it because he felt he should. He did it because he was told to do it. And he's not going to say anything.
No.
He may still be on the payroll. He's certainly not going to say anything.
So Ray Farmer, all these other guys that we've had in there, it just seems that they have found the right combination. A very cerebral, calm coach.
Organized
is very up to date with the Zoom technology that has been able to connect.
This is a team that only was able to have one practice.
I know. Compared to that, with a Pittsburgh team that has had the stability of Ben Roethlisberger for 18 years, a head coach since 2007, the same guy. And you got to wonder if structurally the Steelers are going to do something. I think Mike Tomlin's probably pretty safe.
With the Rooney family, he's safe.
He's safe.
I mean, you'll fire a guy. When he made it to the playoffs,
I don't see that happening. But fundamentally, that team has gotten old.
You understand the Eagles firing. You don't understand.
Or Jacksonville.
There's no justification for firing Mike Tomlin.
No, other than a change.
Yes.
But I don't see that happening. And
we'd like to see our team go in a different direction.
Yeah.
We've seen that a few times. That's usually down.
They've only had three coaches in like 80 years.
Yes.
That means ridiculous. No, I'm not 80 years, but it's been a long time.
It's been over 50.
We had Bill.
I was thinking Knox. Wasn't it Knox?
No. Bill.
You're talking about the last one.
Bill Cowher.
And before him, it was
Chuck Knoll. So those three guys have been the only
coaches they've ever had.
Yeah, since they've been in the AFC.
So basically, we've had that many coaches in the last 3 years.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was just such a watershed victory for the Cleveland Browns. And
you mean they're not the same old Browns?
They are not the same. I think they broke that curse.
What's his face saying there? Oh, these are just the same old Browns.
Oh, that was Juju Schuster.
Schuster, yeah.
And, well, it wasn't the same old Browns.
And you see, he stopped doing the dancing on other people's logos because it started working against him. Well, he said that, and that worked against him, too, because even Baker Mayfield kind of mentioned that after the game.
Well, he should know Baker. You know, he's the guy that a few years back stuck the Oklahoma flag at the Ohio State Stadium. But
which is how we know he's matured.
Know he's matured. And it just was running on. You know, he had a nice mixture of passing, and he had a nice mixture of defense getting points. He had a nice mixture of running. I mean, we had
Nick Chubb.
We had 127 yards of rushing compared to only 52 with the Steelers. Their running game is non-existent.
Right. And I think that may be the weakest thing for the Steelers, whether it's their offensive line, which usually isn't the issue, or the fact they just don't have the running back that can find and make the holes.
Yeah.
But the fact is, Roethlisberger threw 70 times
for 501 yards. Yes.
How many times does a quarterback throw for over 500 yards
and lose?
And lose.
Well, what happened is that then the defense knows what's happening. I mean,
right.
A lot of those passes were 4 or 5 yard dump passes. And they didn't, none were really particularly long ones. They had maybe a couple, but, 28 points in the first quarter. It was the Cleveland Browns against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh, and they had 28 points in the first quarter. And I'm looking at Nancy, he says, well, geez, 28, this could be 112-0.
Which you, of course, knew it wouldn't.
No, but you got to feel really comfortable with a 28-point lead. And,
yes.
And you got a little concern in the third quarter.
They went to some prevent. They did.
They did, and Collingsworth was calling them out a little bit on that. But and then I think it was a big mistake. I mean, I'm not a coach, but when Pittsburgh didn't go for it on fourth down and inches they punted, I thought that really.
Yeah, you heard.
And then we marched right down the field and scored.
You heard Tomlin's explanation of that.
Yeah,
right?
So I wanted to pin them down.
Well, they didn't pin them down. Yeah, they didn't.
And our offensive line just, even with this guy they brought in who didn't know anybody, did a really good job. So what's really nice now is when they go into Kansas City, they will have their head coach, Stefanski, back. Yeah. They'll have Joel Pitino back.
Yes.
They'll have the luxury of some good backups to the offensive line when they go in there. And I don't think, I mean, they got them down as 10-point underdogs to Kansas City. I don't know. I would maybe take the Browns in 10 points.
Well, and that's, you know, they were talking about that also on the fan. They were saying, come on, 10 points. I said, okay, if it were any less than that, would Vegas get anybody to bet on the Browns? He said, oh.
Well,
if it were 8 points.
Well, they're not going to lose money. I mean, okay, oh, you're giving the Browns 10 points.
Right.
And I was thinking 7.
Okay.
I was thinking 7. So there's a lot of money between 7 and 12.
Because we know more than Vegas?
No. But I don't think Vegas artificially gave the Browns more points as a cushion because they wanted more people to bet. I just don't think that. I mean, that's what you were alluding to,
right?
That's
what I was alluding to.
No, nah. They're not going to lose money. And if you wanted to buy the, you know, bet on the Browns and get 7 points. So they had a lot of people betting on the Browns
for
7 points.
True. That's
so
true.
They think Mahomes and company are going to dominate the Browns. And it's going to be a tough row to hoe. Kansas City is an excellent football team. Excellent football team.
Yes.
And they kind of coasted toward the end of the season, but even so, they won.
And they were the top seed.
They were the top seed and had the week off. So, I would love it if they beat, because my sister loves Patrick Mahomes. And if Baker Mayfield and company could go into Kansas City and beat the reigning Super Bowl champs, a statue is going to be chipped away for Baker Mayfield, I'm telling you.
Well, and I tell you what, you got two other teams in the NFL that are wishing that Browns would do that, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you got Buffalo and you got Baltimore that are wanting to.
The Bills had a tough time. I mean, they it wasn't an easy win over, I forgot who they played, but I think it was the Colts.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy for him. Phillip Rivers has probably had a white, you know, he's at the end, too.
And Baltimore seems to be back truly on the game since he came back from all that COVID mess. They have really been on that team, a tear.
I want a Buffalo to win big time. I really
for
do.
For two reasons.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's a team close to me. And you.
Yeah.
And you. And you know, they're born, in, or not born, but we're
formative years.
Yes. And it's been a long time, too, since Buffalo win. Mm-hmm. But Baltimore's good. They are really good. It's 3 points. 2 points. Today's spread.
And that's in Buffalo.
That's in Buffalo. So that's even.
It's even, yes.
And with a fairly limited amount of fans.
Generally, you get home, right, and that takes a...
They only had like 2,400 people in the Steelers Stadium. See, if it was down in Alabama, they have a full house.
Yes. There's no COVID in Alabama.
No COVID in Alabama. No. So anyway, that's Saturday's game. So we'll see what happens there. I think, you know, I really don't follow the NFC that much because, you know, Cleveland is and Buffalo and some of my favorite teams are in the AFC. But Green Bay will play the Rams. They're 7-point favorites. And then
Rams beat Seattle. That surprised me.
Seattle looked bad. I mean, they didn't look like they were.
Seattle's been tough.
Seattle looked like a lot like Pittsburgh.
They were tough all year, and then they went to that first playoff game, and they.
Yeah, it's just they didn't. They didn't look good, and they had an off game, and the Rams took advantage. I don't think the Rams are going to go very far. But what do I know? Green Bay is probably the cream of the crop in the NFC.
And who are they playing?
They're playing the Rams.
Okay, they're playing the Rams. Okay.
And then on Sunday, New Orleans is playing that old trooper, Tom Brady, in the Tampa Bay. They're only 3 points.
Really?
But yeah, they're only 3 points.
And who's, are they, which stadium are they playing in?
They're playing in New Orleans.
Orleans, okay.
Orleans.
Nolans.
Come here, boy.
Nolans. Give me that pole boy. I'm talking about the sandwich.
I know. They have something on. These bananas.
I'm not much into Cajun food, but I do love a big sandwich.
You know, I had one of these pastries with a powder on them, and they're called, I forgot the bananas. I think they're called bananas or something like that.
Okay.
Oh, with powdered sugar on them and coffee. Hog heaven, my man. Hog heaven. You could down six of those things. And, oh. So, I think Kansas City and the Browns would be more competitive than the Pittsburgh game, but I thought Pittsburgh was going to win. I really did.
I had my doubts of winning that. You don't beat Pittsburgh 2 weeks in a row, and they'd rested
everybody,
some of the best players.
They were more competitive without Ben. Then they were...
Yeah, we played down to them that week.
Yeah, and
we played up to them this week.
That's right. It was a great win. It was a great win for so needed, especially in this part of the country, where...
And the players said how excited they were seeing fans there 4 a.m. when they pulled into Cleveland.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nothing that we have seen... With the Browns.
Since we've been doing this show.
Yes. I mean, we've never had a playoff team, and we never had a playoff victory.
You got a pun?
Oh, it's time.
Did you hear the music?
No.
Oh, bring it up. Sorry.
All right. Hold on 1 second. All right. I had one here written. Oh, I went to the Air and Space Museum.
Huh?
But there was nothing there.
That wouldn't be. And that's going to be it for this week. And all I can say,
go Browns.
Go Browns.
I'm so happy for the fans. I really am. Stay safe, too, out there.
Yes.